In Jesus' name. We're continuing our series on the behavior of love. The behavior of love. Let's go over to our foundation text, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning with the first verse. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning with the first verse. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a suffered wrong, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, meaning it always is in operation and never stops working. It never fails to operate. It never comes to an end or becomes obsolete or go out of style. Now, faith, verse 13, hope, love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. Father, in Jesus' name, help us to understand your word, receive it, believe it, and more importantly, do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, last week we were informed of a hero and a giant who fell. The inappropriate relationship with the woman. And it was devastating to hear. But the warning for all of us, not just for pastors, for every child of God, is that no one is above falling as long as you are have breath in your body on this earth. This is a warning all of us. We really need to be aware. This is a veteran say. Mighty man of God. I know you all pray for me. I know you do. Keep praying as I pray for you.
Yes, sir.
Let's really stay focused out there. I know it sounds like a police commander on the shift watch, you know, giving command to the troop before we go out into the streets, you know. But that's exactly what it is. Before we go out into them streets, you got to stay focused. It's keep your head on a swivel. You know, all of this that we do here as pastors, teaching, it's for that. It's to equip us, pastor and congregation, to go out into those streets and bring God glory to God with our living, Remember, episodes of failure have a beginning. They just don't happen at the end. They have a beginning. Yes. And we need to be aware at the beginning. No matter how veteran you are, how much you know. Why is it always a threat? Because we all have flesh. Although we're veterans in the spirit, we have a flesh that is as unredeemed from day one that you got saved until right now. It is still unredeemed. And your flesh doesn't get better. What do you mean by that? Well, it's not going to be less sinful. Yes. No. Never thought of that. Yeah, your flesh doesn't get better. It doesn't get more. It's unredeemed. It is completely fallen. And it stays fallen until you die. If you understood what I just said, then you'll look at beginnings. Smiles, a wink, a nod. Any hint of anger that begins to rise, you, every episode of sin has a beginning. That sounds really simple, but yet it is profound. Yeah, you're not right, because something got to start. You got to start somewhere. How aware are we when they start? That's the prayer, Father. Help us to be aware when an episode to sin starts. And that's where discernment comes in. Being discerning. That's where being tied to the Holy Ghost comes in. Being, having a really strong relationship with the Holy Spirit, the one living inside of you, who's counseling you every day, teaching you all day, every day, guiding you all day, every day, empowering you all day, every day. How close is our relationship with God, our Father? And the answer that to that question of how close are we is tied to one word, and that's obedience. This is how we know that we know him, because we constantly, consistently, and continuously keep his commandments. So the consistency of your obedience is directly tied to how close you are to God Almighty. And how close you are to God Almighty is going to be directly tied to your maintaining a spiritual walk. Although that doesn't exempt you, because you are a close saint. I keep thinking about him, how great this man is still in the eyes of God, because he forgives and he redeems and he restores. But you can have a close relationship and be locked in and just get lax. You just,
that was David.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, David is a man of God, a mighty man of God, a man after God's own heart. That's what God said about David. And he just chilling on the building. You heard it, but a lot of times the beginning of episodes can begin with you or I, us not being where, or being where we are not supposed to be. And you can best believe that the Lord is saying, don't go in there. Don't go there. Don't watch that. Don't listen to that. He's always, so they don't even get started. Do you understand that, saints? We need to hear that. Hear it this morning. I'm listening to Lord. He's always coaching. It may seem like, oh, it's no big deal to go in there. I always go in there. Or I always see that. Or I want, yeah, but this day you don't go in there. Because what's in there is going to end up with boiled rabbits and a dead woman in the bathtub.
How it works, Pastor. Yes, sir.
Yes. I'm telling the brother this morning. I said, aisle 9 is not just a made up concept. That's it. It's to not let the episode get started. And I'm telling you, no one is exempt from an episode being started. No one is. And that's what's scary. You think, well, hey, I've been walking with the Lord for 40 years. Don't mean nothing. Because guess what also is as unredeemed for 40 years? My flesh. So the threat is there. The dark guest within is always there. Just as evil and wicked and anti-God and pro-Satan. Wow, that's a little strong. That's who lives inside of us? Yes. And when that dude starts screaming, if you, the real you, the born again redeemed you, don't take full control. That's what Apostle Paul said. I buffet, beat it black and blue, bruise it, beat it, welt. To raise the word means to raise a welt because of a hit. That's what that word means. Buffet, my body. Subjected to rigid and harsh and stern discipline and make it my sin. You, the real you, is supposed to control your flesh. You can't hand that off to anyone else.
Right.
So when your flesh starts screaming, you got to recognize right at the beginning, this is fleshly. And I need to get a hold of it right now. That's the whole theology behind aisle 9. Don't get it started in here. Let's not get it started in here. Run in stark reverence. That's why the word of God says, flee youthful lust. Ah! But we do, we run to it.
Uh-oh.
And remember, it starts in the mind. Starts in the mind. Lord God, help us to not take it lightly. Help us to not take our walk lightly. See, we have the freedom to do what we want to do. You've got the freedom. You just got the freedom to go where you want to go. We are, limitedly speaking, autonomous creatures, meaning a law unto ourselves. We can kind of go what we do, do what we do. But then there's the Holy Spirit who's always trying to put some parameters there. No, you just can't just because you can do and go don't mean you should. And so thank God for the Holy Spirit. He's there coaching and letting us know, no, you just can't just, no, you can't. I remember you would hear like a line in a movie or even in real life, you'd hear somebody say, just because it comes into your head doesn't mean you have to say it. And you don't have to say everything that comes in your head. And you don't have to do everything you can do just because you can do it. He's coaching. He knows. He sees ahead. Remember, residing, Lord, help us understand this. Residing in us is God the Holy Spirit. That's who's not just something. It's God. I will walk in them. And I will be their God. And they will be my. We are people of God. And God is our Father. He lives inside of us. He's not off somewhere that got to be. No, he's inside us. That's the prayer again. To be God inside minded. Listen to him. When we mess up, when we sin, forget mess up. When we sin, it's because from the start to the middle to the end, we just didn't listen. Because he's coaching. There's no doubt he's doing his job. Am I right, saints? He's doing his job. And he's doing it all the way through the episodes. Through that episode, he's coaching. Nope, you're looking a little too close. Nope, you don't need to be. Nope, you're getting a little too friendly. He's coaching, and you know it. It is a fight. The Lord chose that word, agonizomai. It's not a casual effort to stay in on the road to Christ-likeness. To stay on that road is you must fight. Must be aware. And I mean all day, every day. Johanna?
Yeah. A big part, I believe the Lord is saying, a big part of fighting the fight to fight against sin is to continually be aware of who you are and who you are not. Who you are and who God is. Because I feel we often get comfortable. You know what I mean? Because God is so gracious to us, right? He gives us so much strength to do so many things, to pull us back from this and back from that. But often we take it as our own. Like, it's my strength. Like, I'm keeping myself. But we need to always be aware that He is always the one that does the keeping.
Yes.
He's always the one that does the empowering. We cannot do it on our own. And so when we get into situations where the Holy Spirit is telling us something, we often reason our way out of it. Like, I got this.
But we
never have it. And that's something we have to remember. You didn't have it from the jump. You thought you did, but it was in His strength and by His grace that you were allowed to come out of that thing. But the Lord, we have to continually be relying upon Him and understanding that the Holy Spirit is the one that indwells us, that pulls us back, that's whispering in our ear, that's saying, you know, not today. You know, you, like you said, you might have been able to get away with that yesterday, but I'm telling you, today is not the day.
Yeah.
We don't listen.
Man.
We don't follow it. Because it worked on yesterday.
Preach
he was
that.
Gracious on yesterday.
Preach that.
But now it's like I'm standing in my own strength and I'm falling. Because He was gracious on yesterday. But He told you not to today. But we did it anyway.
Yeah.
You know, so understanding who we are and who God is and that we are always walking in His strength and it's never ours, I think that will be helpful for any believer to understand. You know, because when I think of this man and the way God used him and all the years and all the things that He sustained him and graced him to be able to do, well, it could have easily been something that he always did, a person that he always had interaction with, and the Lord told him not to. Or at this particular moment, the Lord said, pull back. But because you did it on yesterday and all the times before, and the Lord graced you, then you didn't listen because you felt like it was yours. I don't know if you all get what I'm saying. Like, we often take it as our own strength and our own power and ability to keep ourselves, not understanding that, hey, that was the grace of God. That wasn't me.
Nah.
So when the Holy Spirit tells you something, as small as it might be,
that's the key.
We got to listen.
Yes, ma'am.
And that listening is what.
So we fail there. So I just want to reiterate, because we want you to get it. You can be fooled into thinking that it's your strength is why you've been successful in ABC. That's a trick of the enemy. Because if you ever, ever, ever believe that it's your strength is why you had any modicum of success in any area, in any way, shape, or form, is already a setup to take you down. Because it has always been and ever will be the grace of God and His power and His strength. Now, I'll say this, that we are responsible for using His strength. But it's still His strength that is why we get through. And that's why He tells us, because we are capable, He tells us about being empowered in the Lord and His might. Is when the Lord does tell us and warn us that we are capable of using the strength of the Lord at that moment to obey the God within us who's counseling us to not do something or to do something. Does that make sense? That's where the failure comes, is thinking that we've doing this in our own strength. And if you aren't keenly aware of even, and a lot of times when we do that, we're not even realizing that we're believing that our strength got us out of there. That's another. Remember, He's the most subtle beast. He deals in deception. He deals in deception. Beginning of episode, a lot of time we tell ourselves, that ain't no big deal. But why are you saying that? Because there's something riled up in your spirit making you say, you know, this is a big deal. You think, why you would. As you're having this inward conversation, why are you thinking it's no big deal? Why you got to tell yourself that? Because it's a big deal. It is a big deal. And the Lord is telling you that right at the very beginning. If you think about anyone in here, if you think about, hold on, sexual sin, by the way, and as I'm learning from my daughter, Brianna, she's ministering to women about sexual sin. It is not just for men. Now, although we fail mightily, and that is the number one destroyer of ministries. There's three things: sex, pride, and money. But out of those three, the biggest threat is sexual sin. It is to a threat to ladies as well. We all need to be aware and realize sin also happens, not necessarily in the consummation of the act, but it can be inappropriate because Jesus said you had it in your heart. Do you understand that? Because that's God's standard. Let's stay aware, saints. Let's be aware. Stay locked in. Let's hear the Lord. Hear the Holy Spirit. Let's honor the blood. Because of the blood of Jesus, that's why we are saved. And because we are saved, he has promised to live inside of us. I'm going to personally live inside of each and every one of my children. That's why Jesus said, I got to go away because I'm a human being. I can help you when I'm physically here helping you. But when I leave and the comforter comes, he's going to be able to abide inside of you. Wow. Let's take advantage of it. But the warning is, even as great as you can be in the things of God, you can still miss it and still fall. Lord, help us to lock in on that. In Jesus' name. Verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 13 bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. And now we've come to the last behavior. The last behavior endures all things. Endures all things. Right. Endures all things. Before we define, well, we'll define it first. Endures all things. So I asked the question, like, there's in verse 4, love is patient. Verse 7a, bears all things, endures all things. So that they almost kind of sound like they are sort of synonymous, but there are differences. There are three different behaviors in that, in those three things. I kind of want to go over the differences in those behaviors. I want to kind of go over that. So verse 4 says, love is patient. So patience again, and some other words for patience is long suffering and or being long tempered, means to restrain, to control the soul from yielding to the passion of anger or the wrath that easily boils over. So patience is a restraining, a holding back, remaining in control. Control of what? Anger and wrath. That's patience. In 7a, the word bears all things. To bear, if you remember, means to cover in silence, to hide, to conceal, to not make known faults. And we went over when it is appropriate for that, and when I'd like how the end of this definition of this behavior, we said love is prepared to hide or conceal the faults and imperfections of others, to not broadcast or display them in the open, or to give unnecessary publicity to them. That's the key. Unnecessary publicity to them. There is a time to expose it, and there's a reason for that. So it means to cover. So to bear means to hold your temper, to control, keep control of your anger. To bear means to cover in silence, and then to endure, where we are now. It's a compound Greek word made up, of course, compound meaning two words. Hupo, H-U-P-O, which means under, and meno, M-E-N-O, which means to remain. You put it together, it means to remain under a trial, in its simplicity. To remain under adversity. To stay up under it. So if you want to summarize it between those three, patience is refraining from passionate anger, no matter how deserved. It's active restraint. Active restraint. To bear means to cover, to not broadcast sinful behavior. Then to endure is to stay up under the long suffering and the difficulty. Patience restrains. Bear means to cover. So instead of them reacting, they cover that silence. And then they just stay up under it and just bear it. Mm-hmm. And you see the flow of that. Mm-hmm. You don't lash out. Okay, so you've been wrong. So you don't lash out. You restrain yourself. You cover what they just did by not broadcasting. And you just allow yourselves to be mistreated. And of course, there's always conditions and things with that, but that's the general gist of that. Again, the Church of Corinth was not doing that at all. They were lashing out. They were not covering. They were broadcasting everything, and they were not remaining under anything. No, we're going to fight. No, I'm going to outdo you. I'm going to speak in more tongues than yours. You know, I'm going to remove more mountains than you. I mean, a very gifted church went over that. Very gifted. And all they did was battle one another. This ain't the streets. And we're not gangs. We're supposed to love one another, not battle one another. Restrain yourself, sir, ma'am, brother, sister. Don't broadcast everything someone's done to you. And lastly, just stay up under it. Because suffer for Christ's sake. He suffered for you, suffer for him.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. We're in the right place. Because we ain't taking no shorts up in here. None. You're going to learn the hard truth. And you know what? The good thing is, sower sows the word. Hey, we've heard it. Now we're responsible. Yeah, now we're accountable. Like a Dr. McCarthy told me, said, hey, you heard it now? It's too late. He said, if you don't want to hear, I'm going to give you room. I'm going to give you an opportunity now to leave now. He literally told him, you can leave now. Because once you hear it, you're responsible. And Word of Life, some of you have been here for many years. You're responsible for a lot of things. And that's why folks in this church, you don't get away with stuff that maybe other churches who are more ignorant of things of Scripture may get away with. Here, you don't get away with that. So if you find your life in shambles, it's because, you know what? Yeah, you know better. And that's one thing the Lord tells us. Hey, you know better than that. Why are you winking and nodding at her or him? You know better than that. Amen, Brother Lance?
Amen. We can both be ready. Amen.
Let's pray. I'm laughing, but I'm serious. Because this is serious business. This is war. This is war. And the Word of God has clearly pointed out who the enemy is. We have an enemy. He's an opponent. He's diabolical. And he's subtle. And he's good at what he does. Real subtle. Did God really say that? When folks start asking questions, be aware. Why are you asking that? Even when you're asking yourself that question, things within yourself, why are you talking to yourself in that manner? Because you know what you're thinking about doing ain't right. And forget being proper English. Ain't right. It ain't right. The next thing you know, you're all off into some really crazy stuff because we didn't right here. We didn't discern in the beginning. Hupomeno, under, reino, to remain. Put it together, it means to remain under. Let's talk about the word remain, or the portion of it that means to remain. What does that mean? It means, you know me, I love synonyms. I love to over-explain. And you can pick a word that clicks for you, and that's why I do that, I believe. Remain means to continue or to stay, to abide, to persevere, to endure, to have fortitude, courage, resilience, stamina, guts, to hold out. Continue means to stay, to abide, to persevere, to endure, to have fortitude. Fortitude means courage, resilience, stamina, and guts, to hold out. Just remain under it. How many know God gives us trials that you cannot escape? You can't do anything about it. You just got to stay there and stay under it. And he will not remove it until the time comes. And I'm talking to myself, I need to hear it. I need to keep hearing that. He will not remove it. We're literally in year two of a situation, year two. He will not remove it until he sees fit. Apostle Paul is proof of that. I sought the Lord not once, not twice, but three times. And when he came back with, my grace is sufficient, meaning I ain't going to remove it. I'm just going to grace you to go through it.
Thank you, Lord.
No, he said, my grace is sufficient. Then he says, for my power. Grace and power. I want you to catch that. That's for Wednesday. That's a preview of what we're going to talk about Wednesday eventually. Grace is power. You can go through it because I'm gracing you with power to go through it. It's not about getting out from under things, saith the Lord, so quickly. Because the longer you stay up under it, the stronger you become. The more you rely on me. I'm pushing you towards me, saith the Lord. The more that, the longer that you stay up under it, and the heavier that burden becomes, the more you're running into my lap, which you would have never done had I not put you in this situation. Do you understand that? Yeah. It's to drive us to God. That's what trials are for. That's what tribulation is for. That's what hardships are for. To drive us to God, to test our faith. And love just stays up under it. It just endures it. It just is resilient. It has courage. It endures. It perseveres. It just stays there. That's to remain. The other part is meno, M-E-N-O. It means to remain where? Under or beneath. What does that mean? To remain under or to remain beneath something. Well, that means to suffer. To undergo, to tolerate, to experience, to go through, live through, to put up with what? Miseries, adversities, persecutions, provocations. Under or beneath means to suffer, to undergo, to tolerate, experience, to go through, to live through, to put up with hardships, adversities, persecutions, and provocations. You put them together, it means to continue to suffer or to continue to undergo, to stay under, or the end, to stay in the experience, to persevere, to go through. There's no around, there's no escape That's why the word escape doesn't mean escape. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tested beyond your ability to endure, but will, with that temptation, with that test, with that trial, with that hardship, with that adversity, persecution, misery, provocation, make a way to escape. Remember, that's a temporary foxhole. You drop down, get a break from the heat of the battle, and then you get back up out the foxhole and continue the fight so that you go through it or live through it. It's analogous to slaves who often suffer hardship and mistreatment without retaliation. Now, we don't like that, but that's a good analogy. I know there's some parameters to explain some things. I mean, like if you are in physical imminent danger, you or your loved ones, like as a father, if I have my wife or Brooke or Brianna, or, you know, in this case, Theo or Ellis, are in imminent, you know, physical danger, you know, I don't have to submit to that. You follow? I am then, at that time, I am then expected by God to protect those lives. Does that make sense? Yeah. But the fact that somebody's calling your name, or somebody at work is just a bear to be around. I mean, good night. You just can't hardly take seeing them coming into the room. I mean, your whole stomach drops out of your whole body and got to pick it back up and put it back in there because it's all knotted up and you can't hardly breathe right. And I mean, it just, you got to stand there, you know. I told you, I went to Blanchett. I was there probably a week or so. I tried to go out and get other jobs. How long were you there? A week. Really? Did you say you tried to go get other jobs after a week? Yes. I tried to escape. I said, this is hard, a week. And, well, I'm starting, you know, and they gave us, you know, you get 17 with mental health is involved in it too, but sick days. And you get 17, you know, teacher getting right off the rip. So I'm going out of here. I'm taking, hey, I won't be in tomorrow. And I'm going to go look for another job. I tried to get up out of here. And the Lord said, no, I tried for a month. Went on several job interviews. You heard the story before. One, I even got in an argument with the interviewer. How in the world do you expect to get a job when you're arguing with the person who's trying to give you a job? But that's how crazy it is when you're out of God's will. It just gets crazy. And on a given day, I've shut every door. I'm gonna make a man out of you. You're going nowhere. You're gonna remain under this. You're gonna suffer this hardship. You're gonna suffer the full brunt of it for the next 9 years. Glenda Jean. Sorry. She had a look on her face of. But that's where you grow. That's where you grow. It's not on sunny days. Sunny days are vacation days. That's almost like a reward. But you can't live off sunny days. You can't live in the Bahamas in a sense. You know what I'm saying? Or Cancun or whatever these islands are. Anything that ends in E.T. Yes, you don't. No, there's the storms and the rains. And when they come, you suffer it. Embracing hardship for the glory of God. That's where those things joy in the midst of trials. We need those teachings. To endure refers to the quality of character, and it is a quality of character which does not allow one to surrender to circumstances or succumb under the trial. You don't give in and it just crushes you. No, he said we are perplexed on every side and whatever and all that, but not destroyed, not this, not that. It's weighty, it's hard, I'm going to step under it. I just get crestfallen when I hear Christian couples. You know, there's a couple we know of, and they, you know, it's hard. Their marriage is just hard. It's just hard. I'm not talking about nobody in the room. It's another state. Hard. And there's no option if we ain't getting along. So therefore, if that don't work out, that's not an option as a Christian. You can't get a divorce. Why is it even an option? It's not in the word. But that lets you know if the teaching is solved, you think something like that is available. And it's not. I'm just going to just get out of this. You're not. When God puts you under something, you are under it. And there is no escape. And when you try to escape, you're going to make it harder on yourself, because now you're falling into the wrath of God on top of the trial. Oh, man, come on. It ain't that deep. Yes, it is. I like to think everybody in there who's saved is seriously on the road to Christ-likeness. And if you are seriously on the road to Christ-likeness, then this sermon is for you. I am seriously on the road to Christ-likeness, so I know this is for me. Hupomeno, remain under it. Just abide. Just stay there. We don't succumb. So why I give up? Then you literally are jumping out of the frying pan and into the fire. You thought the pan was hot until you hit that fire. To endure means to undergo patiently. To subject oneself to something, someone to, until the something is complete. In this case, a trial. To subject oneself to something. I don't know how to my notes here. To subject oneself to until something. Yeah. So you subject yourself to the trial until it is finished. That's the plain English of it. You undergo patiently, you subject yourself to that trial, to that hardship, to that adversity, until it is complete, until it is finished. Active endurance. In other words, seeing it in action. Now, we really have said it, but let's give some other ways to see it. It looks like this. It means to restrain. So it has that elements of patience in it. To be patient, long-suffering, not soon angry, and not disposed to revenge. Remember, remain under. Stand there means to hold out under all burdens, all adversities, all troubles, all hardships, all toil of any kind, without ceasing to love. Wow, you do all of that and you never stop loving. Do we not need the Lord on our side?
Yes, sir.
Because you know our thing, be like, boy, you said one more thing to me. That's our. That's it. Love will never stop loving. Listen to that. Love never stops loving. I'm going to say it again. Love never stops loving. Now, notice I'm not saying love will never stop liking. You don't have to like a person. There are some people you're just not going to like. That's okay. That's not a sin to not like someone. Because that's just emotion, feelings. But you are commanded to love them. He didn't say, Jesus never said, like your neighbor as you like yourself. So love your neighbor. So love never stops loving. Because you can love someone and not like them. Because love is action. That's a beautiful thing. And that is good news. So love will never stop loving. Another aspect of humano, it is a military term used of an army who's been stationed in a particular part of the war, and they hold that position. They don't give ground. So we are to hold our position in Christ Jesus under that hardship. And we are not to give ground. We remain under it. Every suffering is to be endured. And if you endure it, go through it, hold your ground and don't back up, then you're holding fast. You're enduring. You're staying in there. And there's great reward on the other side. It is a big payoff. Both in heaven and in earth. It's a big payoff. Let's look at some scripture that talks about hardship. Wow, that's the time. We'll pick up with that next time. I can't believe that. Lord, help us to remain under hardships, to suffer quietly without retaliation or revenge. To understand the difference between liking someone and loving someone. Mm-hmm. Help us to understand that because of that difference, that we don't allow us not liking someone interfere with what we've been commanded to do, which is to love them. Mm-hmm. Because to not like someone is not sin. To not love them is definitely sin. Thank you for showing us ways to remain under the hardship for your glory, for your glory, for your glory. For your glory in time and our good, and be your glory in eternity and for our good in time. There is a connection. Your providence has ordained this hardship. We don't suffer in a vacuum. You're there with us. Walking with us through the valley of the shadow of death. Help us to understand we don't have to fear any evil because you are right there with us. Walking us through it step by step. The old song says, and he walks with me and talks with me along the narrow way. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Help us to just get up into your lap, closer, curl in there to your bosom, to get to know you stronger, closer, one more wise. Help us just love you more with our whole heart, all of our soul, with all of our mind and intellect, with all of our might and with all of our strength. And to love, not like our neighbor, but love our neighbor as we most certainly do ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.